Okay, today's daf in Masechet Tzvachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Kuf Tet Vav. But what I'd like to do is start once again, just to remind ourselves of where we're holding in the middle of this sugya. We're holding actually in the machlokas between Rav Chilkiah Bar Tuvi on the one hand and Rav Huna on the other. So just to remind you of that machlokas, let's take a look at the bottom of Kuf Yudalad on the base once again. And remember that Rav Chilkiah Bar Tuvi said, when did the Mishnah say that if you bring a korban asham, which is mechuser zman, that you would be pater? That's only loshon elolishma. It's only if you brought it for the purposes of its being an asham, because it wasn't roy yet, it was mechuser zman. Aval shelolishma. If you shechted an asham shalolishmo, what would be the din? Well, bifnim, suppose you had brought this asham bifnim shalolishmo. So what would have been the din? Then it wouldn't have been mechusuzman, because it's not being brought as an asham. But the din of an asham shalolishmo is, according to the Chachomim, like any other carbon shalolishmo. Namely, it's a kosher carbon, but it was lo ala labalim l'shem chovah. So therefore, since you could bring it shalolishmo bifnim, so therefore, if you brought it shalolishmo b'chutz, you would be chayiv, said Rav Chilkiah Bar Tuvi. To which the Gemara said, so then why would you have to actually bring it shalolishmo? You could even bring it lishmo, but you could say that it's theoretically ro'i lifnim, because you could have brought it shalolishmo bifnim, and therefore, why would it actually need to be shalolishmo? Answers the Gemara, the reason it would need to be shalolishmo is because it would not be kosher bifnim unless it was specifically shalolishmo, you see? Because remember, it's by Akira, and the only, as we learned earlier, the only time that something is kosher shalolishmo is if you took off its name, you uprooted its name, Akira, as if you pulled out the roots of its name. Because otherwise, any stam shchita would have been a shchita l'shem asham, since that's what it's made for. But if you were elker at beferish, so then it would be kosher, specifically in those circumstances, and only in those circumstances. Okay, but now the question is, and this is what we're going to be talking about for the rest of the daf today, which is that maskiv Rav Huna, Rav Huna doesn't like Rav Chilkiah Bar Tuvi's idea. How is it possible that if you brought something that would be shalolishmo, then it would be kosher. But if you brought it lishmo, it isn't kosher. I mean, that sounds to me to be ridiculous. I mean, we should say that since be'etzem, it's not a kosher thing. V'aray, if I'm bringing it shalolishmo, if I'm bringing it lishmo, it's not kosher. So if I make it worse by bringing it shalolishmo, so then it would be kosher. How does that make sense at all? To which, if you recall, the Gemara answered that why not? That's the most logical thing in the world, actually, since that's what we find as being the halacha by the Korban Pesach in general, right? Because after all, Pesach b'shar yimot hashana is not kosher lishmo, but it's only kosher if you're bringing it as a shlamim. And it's kosher shalolishmo. So it's a classic example of something that's not kosher lishmo, but is only kosher shalolishmo. To which the Gemara said, that's not a raya. Because a Pesach, remember, based on the pasuk, is a shlamim if it's not at its time. So, but therefore, if you're bringing it shalolishmo, that is its lishmo. Mashenkin, if you're bringing it as a Pesach at the wrong time, that's its shalolishmo. So that doesn't prove anything. All right, so now it turns out, this is what the rest of the daf today is going to be discussing, essentially. We've got a machlokas between Rav Chilkiah Bar Tuvi and Rav Huna. Rav Chilkiah Bar Tuvi says something which would be kosher if it was brought shalolishmo is able to be mechayev you bachutz if it's brought shalolishmo, even though bachutz, if you brought it lishmo, it would not be mechayev you for shkutechutz. And Rav Huna says that makes no sense. Something can't be more kosher b'fnim shalolishmo than if it's lishmo. Makes no sense to me at all. So now we're going to be looking for rayas one way or the other. Either to Rav Chilkiah Bar Tuvi that something shalolishmo bedavka would be kosher versus Rav Huna, and on some cases, we're going to try to bring a riot to Rav Huna, that something which is shalolishmo is actually not able to be mechayev, but it's going to be less mekubal bifnim. So let's take a look at this. Lema's Misayel. I said, let's see if we can bring a raya from this braita to Rav Chilkiah bar Tuvi. Because we learned from the pasuk, remember, Petach Ohel Moed Lo Hevi'o, and that was the first part of the pasuk from which we had learned most of the dinim. And then from the last part of the pasuk, La'akrivo, to Korban La'Hashem, Lifnei Mishkan Hashem, and those things we needed to get where we had an additional situation that required a limud that you would be put there because it wasn't ro'i. So the bright over there says that after, this is after teaching us the inyanim, that would mean you're not chayav abachutz. So you might think that that would mean that we should also say that you're potter, yochol shani motzi. We should also take an exclusion from the din of the shkita, the chiyav of shkita chutz, af olat mechusas man bebalim. So that's a weird case in which a metzora or a yoledet, she needs to bring or he needs to bring a korban that would be an ayla. So you might think, in the same way that we said a mechusar zman is not royal lifnim, on other korbanas, like the asham, you might think that that would be true of the ayla. Wow. If you think about it for a moment, of course, it really wouldn't be, because we know that it's possible to bring that ayla for any purpose that you would want. So we're going to talk about it in a second. You might think that the Asham Nazir and the Asham Mitzera, which is Pasul, now we don't know what Psul we're talking about yet. We're going to try to figure out what we're talking about in a moment, and that's what's going to try to bring us a raya. The Asham Nazir and the Asham Mitzera that are Pasul for something or another, you might think that you're putter on bringing them bachutz. Talmud Lomar, that's why in the whole opening pasuk of Shrut Echutz, how does it begin? Ish, ish, bibet Yisrael asher yishchat, shor, o kesev, o eiz, b'machane, o asher yishchat, michutz l'machane. Now, will you tell me, please, why I need to know it's a shor, kesev, eiz? I mean, all you need to tell me is, ish, ish, bibet Yisrael asher yishchat, michutz l'machane, yirchayev. I mean, what else are we talking about? What do you mean, a shor, kesev, eiz? We're talking about shechting dinosaurs. I mean, there's only one thing that is kosher for korbanos, and that's shor, kesev, ve'ez. So why are we repeating it for absolutely no reason? Therefore, each one of those examples are there in order to tell me an expansion of the envelope of things that we wouldn't have thought. So therefore, shor tells me any case of shor, which adds additional cases, I would have thought we were mamayit. Kesev tells me any case of kesev. Eiz tells me mikomakom, any case of eiz. And therefore, we're going to end up including these additional cases. And we'll see what we're talking about. So what are these additional cases? So now, note that the cases that we brought that we're including was the eila, in the case of the mitzera or the yoledet, and we also mentioned the asham, right? We talked about the asham nazir and the asham mitzera. Why did we leave out, actually, the chatas? Because if we're talking about cases where the psul was actually just that it was bechutz, and we're talking about shechting it not as a mechusar zman, and you were shechting it for the chatas, for the asham. So then I don't understand, why do we tell me the asham? It would be true even a chatas. If you're bringing the chatas and it's not mechusar zman and it's able to be brought bifnim, so then it should include even the chatas. I don't understand. I mean, and what do we even need a pasuk for besides? It was ridiculous, of course. This is the classic case of shrut echutz, something you could have brought bifnim, and you brought bachutz. So I don't understand what the case is. So obviously we're talking about that it's pasul. Okay, what's its psul? So it must be its psul is that it's before the zman, which has been what we've been talking about the whole time, right? So chelo bizmano. Okay, now, did you bring it lishmo, or did you bring it chelo lishmo? So, Ubamai, what was the machshava? Were you bringing it lishmo? Why would you be chayav for an asham? An asham, which is b'chusar zman, is not mekubal bifnim. And since it's not Makobo Bifnim, it should not be Mechayev Yivachot. So that can't be the case. So then even the Ashram shouldn't be Chayev. So it must be that it's Mechusas Man, and you're bringing it Shelo Lishmo, and it says over here we're using the Shor Kesev O'ez to be Marbe, an Ashram that's Mechusas Man, Shelo Lishmo. Does that sound familiar? That's exactly what Rav Chilkiah Bar Tuvi said. It's exactly the opposite of what Rav Huna was upset about. It shows that something that if you had brought it lishmo would be pasul, but the shalo lishmo, and you bring it b'chutz, it would be actually kosher, because you could have brought that as a carbon shalo lishmo b'fnim, and then you would have been chayev. There we go. So we have a beferish b'raita telling me that the din is like Rav Chilkiah Bar Tuvi. Says the Gemara, not necessarily. We could have it work out according to Rav Huna. I'll tell you, we could be talking about that it was bizmano. It's not referring to mechusar zman at all. And the case is that it was shelo lishmo. And the point is that the chiddush is we're going over here that according to Reb Eliezer, remember that Reb Eliezer holds that an osham has the same din as a chatas. Remember? He learns out kechatat, kasham, all of the different dinim that we said were unique to chatas, he applies to the asham as well. So now, since he holds that makshinan asham lechatas, so now what we're talking about is that this is a perfectly kosher asham. The only thing is that you brought it shelo lishmo. Now, does it matter if you brought it shelo lishmo if you were bachutz? So if I would have brought this very same asham in the Beis HaMikdash the way that I did, namely shelo lishmo, it would have been not mitkabel bifni. So does that matter? If I'm bringing it bachutz, the question of whether it's lishmo or shelo lishmo, the Bright is teaching us a tremendous chiddush that there is irrelevant. Because anyway, I'm bringing it b'chut, so it's obviously not really going to be kosher. So what's the difference what my kavana is? Bottom line, this is a carbon that could have been brought bifnim. And why bother mentioning the fact that I brought it shelo lishmo? You didn't bring it as a carbon at all, you idiot. You brought it chutz the Beis HaMikdash. So your kavana of lishmo or shelo lishmo is irrelevant. That's goof for the chiddush. And therefore, since it's outside, who cares if it was shelo lishmo? And the truth is that obviously this would have been true about a chatas too, according to Reb Eliezer. I mean, isn't that the whole point? He holds one, he talks about the asham, because that's the din of the chatas. So why didn't the Braisa mention the chatas? Why should it? The Braisa is mentioning that the din is true of the asham, which is the same exact din as the chatas, according to Reb Eliezer. So it mentions the case of the Tafel, the secondary case, which is Asham, because we only learn out Asham for Asham Chatas. And obviously, since it's going to have the same din as the Chatas, that would be the din of the Chatas as well. So now we're talking about a completely different issue. Not that the carbon was possible, and since you could have brought it, shelo lishmo would have been kosher or chayev, but just the opposite. Since the carbon is kosher, the fact that you brought it shelo lishmo b'chutz doesn't make it different. Who cares, since it's b'chutz anyway? And therefore, if you hold shelo lishmo as an actual psul, like Reb Eliezer, you might think that that would make it that you're not chayev, since you shechted it shelo lishmo. Nah, since it's b'chutz, shelo lishmo doesn't make any difference. Is this clear to all of the people, or only to the ones in the high chair? I mean, what's going on around here? Hello. Isn't it a pretty day out there? Look at those bears surrounding Handy. You can't help but feel excited in a morning like this. Where the heck is everybody? If Shmuel Chanina thinks I'm going to be coming out to him to hear what kind of Mishnah there is where he's not even around, why would I do that? My gosh. Okay, Mikey, so you got another one and that probably knows what's going on. Great. Okay. So do we have any thumbs up so far? That this is a brilliant answer, man. This is like a whole... there we go. Let's have some flying thumbs. All righty. So that would be what we're talking about. Okay, so we don't have any raya anymore to Rav Chilkiah Bar Tuvi. Now let's see if we can bring a raya from another Braita. Tashma. Yochol Shani Marba. This is going on the same dinim of Shor Kesev Ha'ez that we're going to be Marba. So maybe we should even be Marba on Eila that's Mechusar Zman Begufa. Well, we said, you know, if the Eila is Mechusar Zman Bebaalim, then obviously you're going to be Chayev. I mean, the reason for that is, of course, that this would have been Miskabel Bifnim as a regular Eila. So who cares? If the Baalim brings it for the wrong thing, we'll just use it as a normal Eila. But how about if the Eila is Mechusar Zman Begufa? What does that mean? Who's going to tell me what Mechusar Zman Begufa means? Deet, 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 deet. It's not yet 8 days. It's not on its eighth day. It wasn't Shivas Yom Tachasimo, remember? Okay, so that's considered to be Mechusar Zman Begufa. Now, in that case, you might think that I would even include that, and I would be kosher. It would be kosher. And therefore, if I shechted a pachutz, I would be chayiv. And therefore, I could bring it and to be included in that Shor Kesev Ha'ez inclusion. Or maybe I could include a korban chatas, which is a mechusar zman. We're talking about the chatas nazir or the chatas mitzera. Those things also, they have a very specific time to bring their chatas. So you could have a chatas. It would also be a mechusar zman bebaalim, as well as begufa. Talmud Lomar. That's why we say, no, no, no. That's exactly what El Petach Ol Moed Lo Evi'o means. Koshen Roi Lavo, the Petach Ol Moed, Ein Chayavin Alav, and that's the pshat. Now, I have a question for you, which I want to use as a raya to Reb Chilkiah Bar Tuvi. How come it very studiously avoids the word asham? Why does it say achatas ben begufa ben bebalim? It could have been talking about an asham, right? So ilo asham shayra. Why did it leave out the asham over here? And it doesn't say that it's also not going to be included because it's ain't a royal petach ol moed. I mean, tell me what the case is. Are we talking about a case where we're shechting it lishmo? An asham that is mechusar zman bebaalim or mechusar zman begufo is certainly not kosher if it was shechted lishmo, then therefore it wouldn't be chaya b'chutz. So it could have mentioned the asham, asham nami liftere. So it should have mentioned the asham being also potter. Why talk only about achatas? Must be that the case that we're referring to over here is an asham that was being shechted shelo lishmo. Now, if it's an asham, which is shelo lishmo, then it's actually going to be kosher bifnim, like Reb Chilkiah Bar Tuvi said, and therefore you would be chayev on it b'chutz, which of course is not true of the chatas, because a chatas is by definition pasul shelo lishmo. That's exactly the point. So, the only reason to distinguish between the chatas and the asham is because a chatas that is nishkat shelo lishmo is potzel. And an asham that's nishkat shelo lishmo is kosher, but it's lo ala lebalim l'shem chova. And therefore you see that the asham shelo lishmo actually would be chayev b'chutz because it could have been brought bifnim and not be ala lebalim l'shem chova and therefore wouldn't be b'chutz l'zman anyway, which is the riot of Reb Chilkiah Bar Tuvi. Says the Gemara, well, actually, it might be talking about that it was shelo lishmo. Yes, that's true, but it may be going according to Reb Eliezer. Reb Eliezer holds that an asham is no different than a chatas, and because of that, when it mentioned the chatas, it was, for all intents and purposes, mentioning the asham. Tana Iker. Now, the word v'kolshekein makes absolutely no sense, as Rashi points out. But it means, it says the yikr, and the same thing is true of the tafel, which is the asham, which is learned from chata. So why should I mention it separately? If it's going like Reb Eliezer, it works out just fine. Okay, how about bringing a raya from the following? Now, at first, we thought that the following was actually just a rerun of the first raya that we had brought, and so we were shocked why we would go just because somebody else said it. Rav Dimi brought it up. Gemara is going to be shocked at the fact that we're going back now and bringing the same thing again. Tashma, the Chiyosa Rav Dimi. So when Rav Dimi came he said that there's this braita that I learned when I was learning by the Develi Voi, and that is, according to almost everyone, the correct way to understand it is that Bar Livoi is Levi. And the Beis HaMedrash of Levi was called the Beis HaMedrash of Livoi. So almost all of the Achronim hold that that's the point over here, including the Sfas Emes, the Ripke Veger, and so on, because that makes much more sense to the Sugya later on. So I learned by Develi Voi, but Yochol, now here's what he learned. It's the same braita that we learned at the beginning of the, at the top of the Omer over here. Namely, Yochol Shani Motzi Af Olo B'chusas Man B'Balim, same thing that we had before. And the Osham and the Osham Nozir and the Osham Etzera that are posel. Now, says Rav Dimi, in the middle of saying over this braita, had a senior moment over here. And he said, forgot the rest. But I remember there was a pasuk. I can't remember what pasuk it was, but we brought a pasuk to say, don't include those cases. And Nazir Latamud al-Chiyuva, we brought a pasuk at the time to tell me that I would be chayav, but he forgot the short case of an A stuff, right? But there definitely, I remember there definitely was a pasuk that actually included these cases. So Richie, you can feel right at home over here. Rav Dimi forgot what he was going to say also in the middle. And Lo Yadana Mai Talmudei. I don't remember what that pasuk was. And Ravina says, I'll remind you. Remember the Shor Kesev Ha'ez. Shor Mikom Makom. You know, the Ez Mikom Makom. Kesev Mikom Makom. Ez Mikom Makom. Fine. That was what. Oh, yeah. Says Rav Dimi. Anyway, so like we said before, this bright approves of Chilkiya Bar Tuvi because it mentions an Osham. It leaves out the Chatas. And we make the same diag we made before. It's got to be referring to something that is going to actually be only kosher for the Ashim and not for the Chattas. And that must be that it's actually Shalolishma, where the Chattas would be Pusso. So it's talking about Yushekter at Shalolishma. And that's why you would be Chayev, which is a writer of Chilkiya Bar Tuvi. Says, come on, what, excuse me? I mean, it's not more than 15 minutes ago that we talked about this, and I told you what the answer is. You're bringing it up again? Like, what, you're also having senior moments here? Well, my Rumia, why are you bringing this up again? Kida Amrit, we just explained to you the answer. We said the answer was that it was talking about Aliba the Rebbe Eliezer, and you shechted it at the right time. It was not Bechus's mom, but it was Shalol Lishma. And you would have thought that therefore, since Rebbe Eliezer holds that Shalol Lishma is puzzles, so you might think even if it shechted Bechus Shalol Lishma, you forget. No, of course I didn't forget, said Reb Nachman. This is much more sophisticated than our original question. You didn't let us finish the whole story, okay? Basically, the whole thing is based on Rav Dimi's extended raya. Okay, now you took it a little bit oversimplified. Here's the real issue. Actually, Rav Dimi showed that there's a contradiction between this braita, which is the Tana Devei Rebbe Levi, and the braita they'd heard directly from Levi himself. And the only way out of that contradiction was to recognize the Reb Chilkiya Bar Tuvi. And here's the point. Rav Nachman, after quoting, Rav Dimi, says Rav Nachman, after quoting that braita, he showed that it contradicts a braita that Levi had personally taught. And that braita was that an Asham Nazir and an Asham Mitzorah that were shechted shalo lishman are kosher, but lo alu lebalim l'shum chova. That's fine. I mean, there's no chiddush in that, right? But if they were shachtan mechutz zman bebalim, let's say that the nozir and the mitzora were not yet at the stage where they were able to bring these karbanas, so there was no finishing up of the yemei sfira, or they were maybe 2 years old. And these, remember, the Asham Nazir and the Asham Etzera are the only Ashamot that are actually supposed to be a Keves Ben Shana. All of the other Ashamot are supposed to be in their second year. And here, either you shechted them before the Baalim was Roy, or you were shechted them when they were 2 years old, And therefore, they're not kosher because there need to be keves ben shana. So both of these cases, they are pasul. Okay, so then if we're saying over here that if you shechted it bifnim, it would be pasul. So then that would mean that if you shechted it b'chutz, you wouldn't be chayev. But Rav Dimi is saying, but we just learned in the Braita that you are chayev in the Tana Devei Rabbi Levi. We learned that you are chayev for shechting an asham, that's b'chutz zman, outside. And Rav Dimi said, he answered and he said, look, obviously there's only one solution to this, and that is that the Braita of Levi was talking about where you shechted it lishmo. And since you shechted it lishmo and it's b'chusser zman, so it's not roy bifnim. Masha Enkin, the first price of the Tanner at the very Levoi, was talking about where it was shechted shalolishmo. And if it's shechted shalolishmo, then it is roy to be brought bifnim. And that is exactly like Reb Chilkiya Bar Tuvi. That's where Reb Chilkiya Bar Tuvi was basing his whole din on. So Rav Dimi is showing that the only way to understand the Braita that Levi taught is if you accept Reb Chilkiya Bar Tuvi, which means that it's basically a Braita that is teaching us the din of Reb Chilkiya Bar Tuvi, which shows that Ravuna is wrong. Wow. Kan lishmo v'kan shalo lishmo. Precisely. Rav Ashi actually said he's got the same contradiction that Rav Dimi pointed out between Levi and the Braisa of Levi and the Braisa of the Yedevei Levoi. He went directly to our Mishnah. And he said, look, it says in our Mishnah that if you shechted an asher mechusser zman b'chutz, you would be putter. And here's the Braita of Rav Levoi that says that it's chayev. How do you explain it? So he explained it directly as the contradiction between the Mishnah and the Braita. And he said, the Mishnah is talking about, well, you shechted it lishmo, and therefore it's not roy lifnim, and it's putter. And the Braita was talking about where you shechted it shalo lishmo. And if you would have shechted it shalo lishmo bifnim, it would have been kosher. It just would lo lo ba'alim l'shem chovah. So everybody essentially is showing that Reb Chilkiya Bar Tuvi is 100% on target. And this is the only way to understand it. Wow, says the Gemara. So should we throw out Ravuna? Lemet avitiyuv to the Ravuna? So apparently Ravuna is actually 100% clearly wrong. Amalekha Ravuna, actually. Ravuna could give you a simple explanation. He could say that maybe what we're talking about in the Braita is where you took us two karbanas for your karban ashram and you set them aside. Now remember, if you do that up front, what's the din? Then we understand that one of those were meant to be the carbon that would be brought, and the other one, that was going to be the carbon that in the event that the carbon, the first carbon, was lost, you'd be able to use the second carbon as a backup. So if you used one, the other one is automatically defined as, since it's achrayut, the other one is defined as an oila, because that's the din of a mosa. It's brought as an oila, right? So that may be the case. Maybe, says Ravuna, the Braita is talking about you set aside two separate ashamot up front for achrayut. Then you shechted one of them, michutz, and you shechted it as an oila. Okay, so therefore, that carbon is actually roi to bring an oila, because afterwards, when you actually bring your carbon chatas, it's now clear that limafreya, this one was the oila. So therefore, it's good. When you do that, you're always setting it aside as an oila. So therefore, when you shecht one bachutz before the time that it could be the kosher one, it's automatically an oila. The Omer of Unamarav, an asham shenitak l're'iyah, where you have motarot, and now you set it aside, and you want to wait until it gets a mum. Remember, that's what we said, l'chatchila, you're supposed to do, and then you sell it, and use the money for an oila of kayetz ha-mizbeach, like all motarot, that in the event that you went ahead and actually shechted it without any kavana, it would automatically be kosher for an oila because it was an ex-asham mota. Okay, so that would be the case over here. Then we don't have to say it's talking about, like, Chilke Bartuvi. It could simply be a case where the reason it was Roy Bachutz is because it was set aside la'achrayut. Excellent. So that concludes that part of the discussion of the Mishnah, which was the machlokas between does the din in the Mishnah about an asham, does it refer to the asham that would be kosher in the event that it was shechta shelo lishmo, the machlokas between Reb Chilke Bartuvi and Reb Huna, who claims that it's nonsensical to say that something which, if it was lishmo, would not be kosher, would consider to be kosher if it was shelo lishmo. The only time that we say that a carbon that's brought shelo lishmo is a kosher carbon, except that it's all of the balim l'shem chovah, is where it was also obviously going to be kosher completely, and it would have been Ola L'Shem Balim if you would have brought it correctly, and you brought it incorrectly, so then it's still kosher, it's just not Ola L'Balim. But if you had brought it correctly, it wouldn't be kosher. You can't make it better by making it not L'Shem Balim. That's crazy. That's Ravuna's opinion, and in our Gemara, we weren't able to ask a killer question on it, so there was no checkmate, and we still had that possibility. So let's move on now with the continuation of the sugya in the Mishnah. Menachem, you're making Ori hungry. That stuff looks a lot better than the gook that her father's giving her. Why don't you pass it over through the, there you go. Okie doke. Okay, the next case that we had was that if you're mala, the Bisar HaChatas, and then it goes on to say that there's all kinds of things, including, it starts with the Bsar HaChatas, the Bsar HaOsham, the Bsar Kachim, the Mosa HaOmer, the Lechem HaPonim. That was that whole list of things that we had in the Mishnah, which we don't know why, but it's obvious, as we'll see. But all of these things, there would be no chiyah for bringing them b'chutz, and they are a list of things that are kosher for achila. So obviously, if you're going to bring something that's kosher l'achila, it is not roi for hakrava bifnim. So the braita goes through each one of these cases that we have in the Mishnah. Minayin l'mala b'psara chatat, which is meant to be eaten by the kohanim. Or mipsara asham, which is meant to be eaten by the kohanim. Or mipsara kachem kachem, which is a reference to, remember, Boy, we need to be faster on the uptake over here, which always talks about Zifche Shalmei Tzibor. If I got no takers, I'm going to stop beeping. Then what's going to happen? Everybody will fall asleep. So either you use the Psar Kachim Kachim, or Psar Kachim Kalim, which is meant to be eaten by anybody. The owner probably would want to keep it for himself. Or the Mosara Omer, which is meant to be eaten by Kohanim. Or the Shtei Alechem, which the entire Shtei Alechem doesn't go up on the Mizbeach, it's Chometz. Or the Lechem HaPonim, which is meant to be eaten by the Kohanim after you bring the Levona. Or Shiarei Menachot. All those things, the Shiarei Menachos, are all meant to be eaten by Kohanim. All of these things, you would not be chayev if you brought them up b'chutz. You're potter. How do I know that? Says the Braita, Talmud Lomar, well, that's the point in the pasuk that says, Va'alehem Tomar, Ish mi Beit Yisrael min ager, Asher yagur betocham. And here's the critical words, Asher ya'ale ola ozavach. Whatever it is you're bringing it up has to be similar to an ola. Just like the ola is ru'uyala ha'ala'a, of kosher ra'uimah ala'ah. So when we're talking about a zevach, something else that you put on the mizbeach, it has to be similar to the ola in that it is meant to be brought up on the mizbeach. Now, we have all the other list of these 10 different things of avedas that you do, which are real avedas, and nonetheless, they are pater if they're done outside. So what is that? That even somebody who does yitzika, so what's the yitzika? He pours out the oil on the menachos that require yitzika. Or he mixes it. He's bolel. So he mixes that oil after the yitzika with the solet. Or he's potate. Those menachos that are baked. So their mafe tanur was similar to that, where you end up with solid pieces like pancakes. You have to first break them up in order to be able to do kmitza. How else are you going to be able to do kmitza on it? That's called petita. So you did the petita, and that's a pasuk, potota tapitim. So that's one of the avedas. Or how about if you put salt on any of the karbanas? And you have to put salt on your karbanas, lo tashbit belach brit. Or you do tenufav, something that's chayev to be meiniv. Or you have a mincha and you do hagosha. Hagosha is you bring them all the way up to that corner of the southwest, which is the corner closest to the echal. Or you put the lechem aponim on the shulchan, which is part of what you're mechuyev to do every week. Or you went ahead and you were mativ the neros of the menorah, which needs to be done every day. Or you did the kmitza of a regular mincha. Or you did the kabbalas hadam with the mizrak. And you did any of these 10 things. Pachutz, you would be putter, even though they are 100% avodas. Why would you be putter? You're putter because Talmud Lomar Sheyale Ola Ozavach. Just like the Ha'alah is the end of the process that you've been dealing with. Any Aveda that's the end of a process, that's called it's a Gemara Aveda, and only something that's a Gemara Aveda, would you be Chayev on? But all of the things that we spoke about before, not a single one of them is the end of the process. So if you pour out a nesach, yes. If you put the kmitza on the mizbeach, yes. If you zorek the dam, yes. But if you makabel the dam, or you just do the kmitza, then, or your bolel, I mean, any of those things is just part of the process of ultimately getting it, then that's not considered to be the aveda that the Torah is b'chayim you on, and therefore any of those kind of things would be potter. Now, we get to the question of the very last piece that had to do with the dinim of the bama. And the Mishnah adds all the dinim of the bamas in the different places. And in the context of that, after the Mishnah explains, Achelo hu kam ha-mishkan, so it says, abamot were mutarot, the avodah bivchorot. And that's the part that concerns me. When you say the avodah was bivchorot, achelo hu kam ha-mishkan, so that seems to be saying that until we actually went ahead and we had that whole story of bringing the Levium, and they brought the Karbanas, and we waved the Levium, and up until that time, we thought, it seems to be saying, that there was no din of kahuna in terms of Aaron, that was still, the avodah was being done by Bechorot. So, what was the marker for avodah b'Bechorot? So we had the pasuk of Vayishlach as Nare b'nei Yisrael, and we said Nare b'nei Yisrael. We have a kabbal that Nare b'nei Yisrael means not stam na'arim, but it means the bechorot, and we're calling them na'arim, perhaps in the sense of the ones who do the work. So when you have a worker that's with you, doesn't matter his age, you call him the nar. He's the one that is working with you. That's how we understood it. So now Rav Huna bar Katinan was sitting there in front of Rav Chista, and he sat over, he was reading the pasuk, Vayishlach et na'arei b'nei Yisrael, and Rav Chista said to him what that means, because Rav Chista was saying over, that is a reference to the Bechoros, which was our kapala about this inyan, and Rav Huna said to him, well, I don't know, because what Rav Asi says was, now there's two different Kiras Ha'ot over here. One is Upasku, that after this Hakrava, that was it. So in other words, the last thing that Bechorot did was bringing that carbon on Har Sinai. But after Har Sinai, all the way until the Zman that the Mishkan was put up, they no longer did the Aveda, which is mashmah that the Aveda was given to the kahuna right then and there on Har Sinai, because they never did any Aveda again. There is another girsa, and according to the other girsa, it doesn't say upasku, they stopped, but rather paskate, meaning put a psik here in the pasik. So that means put an asnachta in the middle of the pasik after, when you have Yisrael. So when it says, Vayishlach es na'arei b'nei Yisrael, comma, or semicolon, and Vayalu Olot. So that means that Moshe Rabbeinu sent up the Na'arei B'nei Yisrael in order to bring up the Olas, the animals, and then those who were supposed to were Yalu Olot, referring to the Kohanim. So in other words, according to the different girsas are not exactly the same, because if you're learning Upasket, it means that the Bechorot did not even bring up the Olan Har Sinai. They just physically brought the animals up, and then the Kohanim took over, because we had that paske with that semicolon that was between the word Yisrael and Vayalu. If you learn it the way that the simple girsa is, uposku, it means that after that day, and that they actually did bring up those korbanos, that was the last time they ever brought up korbanos. Okay, but whatever the point is, it's definitely not the way we thought from our Mishnah. Now, Rav Chisda, who was listening to what he said over in the name of Rav Asi, so Rav Huna had said over that, Rav Chisda was about to say to Rav Huna, what's the matter with you? You don't know our Mishnah? The Mishnah says, Beferish, that until the Mishkan was hukam, Achu kama Mishkan. So what are you arguing on the Mishnah? What kind of crazy mimer is this of Rav Asi that you're telling me to learn the pasuk that way? And he was about to ask him when Shamei, the Rav Huna, said something else that he found outrageous. Before he had a chance to ask him from the Mishnah, he heard that Rav Huna now goes ahead and says another stupid thing in his opinion. This time, Mishmei de Rav Ada bar Ava, namely, that the Eila sheikrivu Yisrael b'amidbar, Eina tu'una hefshet v'nituach. That those olot that were brought up before the Mishkan, you did not need to do the butchering, you didn't need to remove the skin from the Eila, and he felt that that was ridiculous as well. So therefore, he said, wait a minute, why should I ask him from the Mishnah on the first part of what he said? I'm going to ask him from one braita that shows that he was wrong in both of the issues that he raised over here. And because of that, he wanted to show him that the Ola did require Hefshet V'nituach, and he was wrong about that. And he wanted to show him that the Aveda was done by the Bechorot all the way up until the Hakomas HaMishkan on Shmini B'miluim. So he said, I'm not going to ask him for the Mishnah. I'd rather ask him from the Braita, the Shavya Bekula, to show that he's wrong in everything. What's that Braita? The Tanya. Achlo hu kama Mishkan HaBomot Mutarot and Avodah B'Bechorot. You could bring any kind of animal at all. You could bring any behema. You could bring any chaya. You could bring any ov. It didn't matter the sex of the animal for which kind of carbon. It didn't matter if it was a zachar, was in a keva. It didn't matter whether the animal was tamim or not. It could even be a balmum. And it did need to be Tahorim. Yes, it needed to be from a kosher species, but it did not need to be specifically Shar Kesef O'Eis. You could have brought up a deer or any number of different types of chayas for that matter. And as long as they were Tahorim and not from a not kosher kind of animal, that we know from Noach. And all karbanas at that time, this is what we think anyway it means now, all karbanos at that time were only olot. There were no other type of karban. And the olah that was brought up by Yisrael in the Midbar is definitely tu'una hefshet v'nituach. It needed hefshet v'nituach. And continues the brayta, goyim that bring karbanos bizman hazeh have the same din. They could bring karbanos on a bama, and they can bring it from any kosher species, and they don't have to worry about all those dinim. So here you see that Rav Huna is wrong, both things that he said. It says Beferish all the way up until the Mishkan was built. The din is that the Bechorot were the ones who did the Avodah. And it also says Beferish that you did require Hefshet v'Nituach, which means that Ravuna was wrong on both counts of, obviously, he was quoting other people, but both of them were wrong. Says the Gemara, look, the question of the issue of Kohanim or Bechoros until the very Hakomas HaMishkan, it's not that they're wrong. It actually is that there's a machlokas tanoim. D'tanya, take a look at this bride and you'll see that there's a machlokas. It says, V'gama Kohanima Nigashim El Hashem Yitkadash. What does it say over there when we're preparing to go up to our Sinai? And Moshe has his own special mechitza, and everyone is in a special place. There's a mokum for the zakenim, and there's a mokum for Nodav Aviyu, and so on and so forth. It says over there, the kohanim also need to make sure that they're ready to be in their correct place, because otherwise they're going to get shot. So it says, Gama Kohanim, the Kohanim shouldn't think that they're hatsi-tatsi people and they have a right to go up and just keep walking with Moshe. They do not have such a right. Okay, who are those Kohanim? So Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha says, those Kohanim, there weren't any Kohanim. Those were the Bechorot. And they were called Kohanim because they did the Avodah of the Korbanos. So zu prishut Bechorot. That means that we needed to have a special place for the Bechorot who were doing the Avodah, and we're calling them, make sure that gama Bechorot yitkadashu, and they don't go too far up on our Sinai. Rebbe says, no. This is referring to Nodav Aviyu. And we're mentioning specifically Nodav Aviyu Rabosai, because we're going to use this in understanding what it was that Moshe said to Aaron after Nadav Aviyu died. He's going to tell them, well, I told you, and that's going to be based on this. So we mentioned Nadav Aviyu, but it doesn't mean only Nadav Aviyu. It means Aaron, Nadav Aviyu, and of course, Elazar v'Itamar. Fine. So it's a reference to the Kohanim. Okay. So now, that means that we have a machlokas between Rebbe and Rebbe Yeshua ben Korcha. So now, if you say, Zuprishus Nodav Aviyu, that Rebbe, so then I understand why Moshe Rabbeinu said to Aaron after Nodav Aviyu died, he said, Hainu dichtiv, hu asher diber Hashem lemor bekrovaya kadesh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu warned us up front that the greatest kadoshim of us are going to be killed. What was he referring to? He was referring to this pasuk. Where did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say that? He said, you better watch out. Yitkadoshu pen yifrot bam Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to kill them. And that's exactly what these guys did. They did not keep their distance properly. Vayechazu et elim, vayochlu vayishtu. And therefore, we were warned up front. But if you understand it, that it was not referring, like Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha was not referring to Nadav Aviyu, and instead it was referring to the Bechorot. So what does Moshe mean when he tells Aaron, well, we were warned, and this shows that they were the one that weren't Mekayim the Kadoshu. Where does it say that? Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha will understand it to be a reference to V'no'adeti Shama Levnei Yisrael V'nikdash Bechvodi, since HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu that we're going to go and make the Mishkan, and we're going to do these miluim, and that way I'm going to become Kodesh in my full kovet. Well, that word, bichvodi, is actually a remez. Al tikri bichvodi, ela b'mechubadai. Those who are the ones that I gave the most honor to, and the ones who are the most chashev in B'nai Yisrael, they are the ones that are going to show people how careful you have to be with the Kvod Shamayim. And through that, everyone will understand what it means to have a concept of Kedushas HaMokam, which cannot be violated. And they will pay for it with their lives. And in doing that, they will be Mekadesh Sheb Shamayim. So, Dover Zeh, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Moshe up front, but he had no idea what he was referring to. V'lo Yida'u. He thought it was going to be him, like the Medrash says. And Rashi says he thought it would be him or Aaron. Achemetu b'nei Aaron. After metu b'nei Aaron, Moshe said to him, you know, Aaron, achi, I thought we were the greatest. Now I see your children were the greatest. They were the mechubadai. Lo metu b'necha lakdish, ela lakdish, Moshe lakadosh baruch hu. Kivan shi yada Aaron, shebanav yidu'ema kohen. So once Aaron saw my children were zeche to be the ones who are the mechubadai, he was shatak, that's the vayidem Aaron, v'kibel sachar shenema vayidom Aaron. So they both, the machlokes Rebbe and Rebbe Yishuv ben Korcha, is the reason why in the Braita it said that, and in the Mishnah it said that the Avoda was with the Bechoros until the very end, but we also found the Shitas of those who said that the Avoda of the Bechoros ended on Har Sinai. V'chein b'Davidu Omer, we find another place where it says beferish to shut up and accept what is happening to you, even if it's horrific, which is what Aaron did. B'Davidu Omer, Dom LaHashem, same Lashem, Vayidom, Dom LaHashem, keep your mouth shut, V'Hitcholelo, which could mean, V'Hitcholel could mean even though you're being murdered, right? Chalalim. Which means afapishim apilacha chalalim chalalim, he might be killing your entire family one after the other. Keep your mouth shut. Atshtok. And we find the same thing b'Shlomo. Eit lachashot ve'eit ledaber. There's a time to be quiet and there's a time to speak up. Pe'amim sheshoteku mekabel sachar al hashtika. There's times when the biggest thing that a person can do is like the Vayidom Aaron. And there's pe'amim where medaber. And other times where you're expressing the amazing way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been Mashiach and you and Teva and so on, and you say Halal, then you're Mekabel Sechar Al Adibur. But there's a reward for keeping quiet, and yet this is central to the whole kuhuna of Aaron HaKohen. V'ayinu di Omer Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Omer Rabbi Yochanan. This old story of Reb Chiya Bar Abba here, the Maidechtim Nora Elohim mi Mikdashecha, that you became Nora, you became awesome. Mi Mikdashecha means mi Mekudashecha, that the Kedushas Hashem of the Midas Adin that you have to recognize separates out a Kedushas Hamokim, then that means b'sha'a sha'oseh HaKadosh Baruch Hu din b'kedoshav, when even the closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu are affected by such frightening dinim, then mityarei u'mitaleh u'mitalel. At that point, people realize what it is that they're up against instead of being overly familiar and silly. So that is the point. But okay, fine. But Rav Huna also said that the Oila does. You've answered the one part where Rav Huna said that the last act of the Bechoros was on Har Sinai. So now I see that that was a machlokas. But what about the other thing that Rav Huna quoted, which was that the Oila didn't require Hefshet V'Nituach, and it says in the price of a Farish, it does need Hefshet V'Nituach. Well, that too is actually Trei Tanoihu. That is also a Machlokas Tanoim. Where is that? That is the famous Machlokas between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva in the whole introduction to Teras Kayani. Rabbi Yishmael says, Kololot Nemru B'Sinai U'Pratot Bo'Omoid. All of the dinim that we are about to learn in Teras Kayanim in Vayikra, those are the Prote Dinim that we're learning only now. And the only thing that was said on Sinai in that brief period in which we stood and that Moshe Rabbeinu was giving over the mitzvahs on our Sinai, those were only the overall concepts. So they were just general klolim. But when it came to the details, like whether you need hefshet, v'nituach, and how to do it, all of that was only learned after Vayikra El Moshe. Whereas Rabbi Akiva says, no, everything was said on our Sinai. Klalot u'pratot namru b'Sinai. And in Vayikra, in the Oil Moed, they were reviewed. And then when we came to Arvot Moav, they were nishtalshu. So they were gone over yet a third time in Arvot Moav. Which, by the way, I want to point out to you. I'm sure all of you have heard the great Chochma that you're supposed to be reading when you introduce the Birkas Kohanim of the Bracha HaMishuleshet Batorah. You're supposed to be very super smart, and you're supposed to say HaBracha HaMishuleshet, and then stop, and then say Batorah HaKtuvah, because after all, the bracha was not mishuleshet b'Torah. It is a three-part bracha in the Torah, but it's not mishulash in the Torah. But here we see that the use of the word nishtalshu, of course, it means two different things. There's mishuleshet, a tripled, and then there's the, it was repeated the third time. But the point is, it was not repeated three times in Arvot Mo'av. It was became mishtalesh when it was repeated for the third time in Arvot Mo'av. The same thing is true over here. The bracha became a bracha mishuleshet in the Torah when it was mishulash in the Torah. And certainly you're not supposed to have two separate words, bracha mishuleshet, quiet. Batorah, what if Batorah doesn't even make sense? You know, haktuva Batorah, I mean, what? Batorah. So obviously, what it means is mishuleshet Batorah, which is exactly the way that people for all the generations had it until everyone got too smart for their own britches.